So today we have three visions of the risen Christ, and wow, how different they are. We have Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road, the great enemy of the church, who is bound and determined to destroy as many Christians as he can, who on his way to Damascus is met with a blinding flash of lightning that strikes him blind, knocks him off his horse, and this voice speaking from heaven, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Wow. No missing that one. And then in our second reading, we have an even more mind-blowing vision of the risen Christ, where John, the apostle, in exile on the island of Patmos, has a series of visions given to him by the risen Christ. And in the one that we read from today, we have the risen Christ appearing as the Lamb of God, standing by the throne of the Almighty Father. And with millions and billions and trillions of angels all flying around, all singing at the tops of their voices, you know, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wisdom and honor and blessing." And then not only that, but the whole creation, every creature in the whole universe joins in this song. You can imagine how loud this is. Like a billion times louder than the loudest rock concert of all time. It's like, who needs rock and roll when we got the Rock of Ages? Wow. No missing that one, the risen Christ. Now, after those two visions of the risen Christ, our third vision seems kind of anticlimactic. Because in our third vision of the risen Christ, No mind-blowing fireworks, no flashes of lightning, no choirs of angels, no rock concert in the sky, just seven very ordinary men who have decided it's time to get back to life as usual. Jesus has been raised from the dead. He appeared to them twice in Jerusalem, coming back a second time for Thomas, but they haven't seen any action, so they're back in Galilee. Peter says, might as well go fishing. And so they do. And the risen Christ appears now again, with no Hollywood special effects, just a guy standing on a beach. A stranger. The disciples don't even recognize. And saying to them something entirely ordinary. "Hey, looks like you don't have any fish yet." And then offering some helpful advice, as a spotter on the shore might do. "Hey, try casting your net over there on the right side of the boat. I think you'll find a few." Yeah, a few. The only thing amazing about this story is the catch of fish itself, which then lets John, the beloved disciple, know that, wait a minute, this is no ordinary guy on the beach. This is the risen Lord. So, not a very exciting story, perhaps, at least not as mind-blowing as those first two. But I believe what it says could be more mind-blowing than all of those heavenly visions and lightning bolts and angelic choirs, that it is right in the middle of the ordinary daily grind of our lives, with all its frustration and discouragement and, yes, boredom, that Jesus, the risen one, meets us. Jesus didn't wait for the disciples to find him through their religious exercises, but instead the risen Christ found them right where they were. He came to them not while they were waiting for him, but actually he came to them when they had given up waiting for him and had gone back to their ordinary daily routine. Not when they were praying, but when they were fishing, and in fact, when they had tried to fish and failed. So in the same way that the risen Christ met the disciples in the middle of their worldly pursuits, so that's how the risen Christ comes to us today. It doesn't matter where we are or what we're doing. Our risen Lord is every bit as much at home and as likely to show up in the kitchen, or the office, or the barn, or the schoolroom, or the playground, as he is likely to show up in the sanctuary on Sunday morning. We don't need a heavenly choir, a blinding flash of light knocking us to our knees. It is enough for us to know by faith that he is here with us now in the middle of our ordinary lives, and that he will be with us forever. I know that may not sound like much, just knowing that Jesus is with us, but it's a lot like it was for me when I was a kid. In the middle of the night, sometimes I would wake up after a scary dream, or maybe I would hear some kind of suspicious sound that sounded like it might be a monster or something, see a shadowy figure, and I would go into my parents' bedroom and ask for my mom's help, and my mom would come in, and she would sit next to my bed in the dark as I went back to sleep. She didn't have to do anything. She didn't have to say anything. I didn't even have to be able to see her sitting there by my bed. All I needed was to know that she was there. And because she was there, everything was all right. So it is with the risen Jesus. When you know that Jesus is with you, the darkness may still surround you, but it cannot overwhelm you. You may still experience frustration and disappointment, but it cannot take away your hope, because now you no longer look at things the way the rest of the world does. Where others see Jesus as a noble figure from the past, you see a risen and living Lord by your side. Where others see the church as one more flawed human organization among many others, you see the radiant bride of Christ and the beginning of a new human race. Where others see a baptized baby as just one more child born into an already overcrowded world, we see an infinitely precious and beloved child of God. Where others see death as the end of a line, we see death as a door opening into the joy and the freedom of everlasting life. When you were baptized, God named you and claimed you as his own. He drowned your sinful self and raised you up to a brand new life as a child of God, his child. He made your mortal human flesh and blood body into a temple of the Holy Spirit so that Jesus might continue to love the world, to feed his sheep through you. And he did all that just because he loves you. Living this way as a child of God, I believe, is the best way to live. It may not be the easiest. You still have to put up with the same boredom and frustration and hardships as everyone else, even as Jesus did. The work is hard, the hours are long, and often the results are hard to see. The only guarantee Jesus gives you, the only one you need, is that he will be with you every step of the way, just as he is with Reverend Wall every day in those refugee camps. He will feed you with his word, with his body and blood, as he is doing here this morning, as he fed his disciples that morning by the shores of Galilee. He will fill you continually with his love and give you the power to share his love with the people around you in simple, down-to-earth ways. And when your last hour comes, here's the best part, he will take you by the hand to be with him and with those you love forever. No fireworks needed, no lightning bolts, no heavenly visions, just the quiet inner assurance that the living Jesus is with you. It may not sound like much, but in fact, it's everything. Amen.